one-room country shack. Jimmy Burns was born on this day, and honoring him with a taste of his music. Of course, you can find out more about that music at steinershow.org as well. We are now joined here by Jay Bernstein, who is chair of the Advocacy Committee for the Baltimore Zionist District, host of Shalom USA Radio, Sarah Love, Public Policy Director for the ACLU of Maryland, American Civil Liberties Union, and Public Policy Director for the ACLU. And we'll be later joined by some other guests as well as we have this discussion and debate over a bill now in the state legislature. There's one in U.S. Congress. There is one that was in the New York State Legislature. Two bills, one introduced by Senator Conway, one introduced by Delegate Kramer, to restrict activities of campus student groups which engage in boycotts against universities and colleges of other countries directed specifically at Israel. Since the American Studies Association came out with their boycott, there's been a hot topic. Of course, the real question here is the way to address that through making it illegal. So we have our two guests with us, Jay Bernstein and Sarah Love. We were going to have the folks who wrote the bills, but they couldn't join us today. But Jay and Sarah, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
So let me ask you first, Jay, describe this bill as you understand it.
Well, the bill, like you said, Mark, is responding to the ASA academic boycott of Israel. And particularly the concern is that it's been basically uniformly denounced by universities around the country and as well as here in Maryland. The University of Maryland, Baltimore County, is an institutional member of the ASA. And despite the fact that President Hrabowski and the University of Maryland leadership has denounced the boycott, they have opted not to withdraw that membership in the ASA. So this legislation addresses that situation. Now, setting aside for a moment the nature of the boycott itself, and we can talk about that as well, the fact that...
We'll get to that in a minute, but just, the idea that the American Studies Association support the boycott, and the association did not disassociate itself from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So tell me what this bill says that... I just want to get to the bottom line of what this bill is saying.
Sure. So the bill itself says that this relates only to public institutions of higher education, that those public institutions cannot use any funds, whether it's tuition or fees, for membership in an organization that is boycotting a country that has a declaration of cooperation with the state of Maryland, which Israel and other countries have. So they cannot use tuition or fees for membership in that sort of an organization. They cannot use tuition or fees to reimburse faculty or staff to travel or to be involved in meetings of that organization. And if, in fact, they do so, the legislation goes on to say that that there would be a 3% reduction in the funding of those institutions if they nevertheless go ahead and maintain the membership and maintain the use of tuition and fees for the purposes set forth.
So, and we are not going to talk about the specifics of the boycott for the next 15 minutes or so because Sarah Love is not prepared to talk about that. She is prepared to address the issues of the other side of this bill in terms of its constitutionality. Sarah?
Thanks, Mark. So, as you've noted, I'm not going to talk about the boycott itself because the ACLU of Maryland does not take a position on the boycott. Our concern with this bill is its infringement on First Amendment rights to free speech and free association. So I think we all know from years past, NAACP versus Claiborne Hardware, that it's well-established case law that advocating for or against a boycott is protected speech. Now, this bill goes beyond that, and it punishes universities for their professors' association with an organization with whose speech the sponsors disagree. So, as Nation magazine writer Michelle Goldberg wrote about the New York bill, the state is about to boycott the American Studies Association to show that academic boycotts are wrong. So let's talk about this in practical terms and how this really has an effect on free speech and free association. So let's say a professor wants to present a paper on 19th century slavery at an ASA conference. So she's going to have to pay for that out of her own pocket, or the university is going to get docked 3% of the funding that it gets from the state. So maybe it's a $50 train ticket. Now the university is going to get docked 3% of all the monies it gets from the state. The professor next door wants to present a paper about, anything at a different organization's conference. that professor gets full university support. Now, that point won't be lost on the academics as to what associations are acceptable and not, and what speech by those associations are acceptable or not. You know, as Jay mentioned, the university system has come down against the boycott, but they have said that this bill is dangerous and they oppose this bill. And from the ACLU's perspective, the best response to speech that you don't like is more speech, like the university system has done. And there's a letter that's signed by all the university presidents, the University of Maryland system presidents, saying we don't agree with the boycott, but we also don't agree with this legislation.
So, folks, I want you to join us here. Your thoughts, 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888, and write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet me at Mark. Write me here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can also log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. So the question I have here is that, it does involve the American Studies Association, but it also involves the Native American and Indigenous Studies Association, Association for Asian American Studies, which also endorsed the boycott. It wasn't just the ASA. And whether you disagree or agree with the ASA, do we not, Jared, in this country have a long-standing tradition of free speech, whether it's allowing Nazis or the Klan to march, as much as we revile those groups? We don't say they have a right to speak what they want, write what they want, say what they want, without being jailed or having public funds taken away.
No one is restricting the right of any professor to say whatever he wants to about Israel. No one is restricting the right of the faculty to attend meetings, to maintain their own individual membership. But and here I would disagree with your other guest that it is not unconstitutional and not a violation of the First Amendment for the state to say that we have an interest here in what's going on in a public university. One of the purposes of a public university, among other things, is to generate economic activity for the state, that we, the state of Maryland, have a relationship with the state of Israel, and we are not going to fund actions by a particular department of a university that is contrary to that public interest.
But very quickly, Jared, because we have a short segment here, so I don't want to have to kind of keep breaking in and making sure that you get to points. But so what? I mean, if there was a public policy that said schools and restaurants should be segregated, the only way that was broken was where people violating the law and sitting in.
Right. Well, that's an illegal public policy. That the policy of the state to have a relationship with the state of Israel is not comparable in any way to a public policy of segregation or discrimination against racial groups. And in fact, what we're talking about here is actually discrimination. This whole boycott is discriminatory against scholars, Israeli scholars. It's discriminatory. Many have argued, and I would agree, that it's anti-Semitic in effect, whether it is in intent or not. So in fact, we're talking about a public policy that in fact should be championed by the state and should not be in any way supported by public funds.
But, Sarah, we're talking not about a boycott. We're talking about the people's right to voice support for a boycott.
And that's exactly right, Mark. And, you and I think even your other speaker made that point, which is it is about a particular viewpoint. And let's go back to, the anti-apartheid boycotts or many of the other boycotts that have happened on our campuses. And the Supreme Court has a long history of championing free speech, especially in the academic setting. And, we in the state of Maryland are not going to solve the problems in the Middle East, but what we can do is have a robust discussion about them without the state of Maryland coming down heavy-handedly and saying, you may not have this discussion. And I also want to mention, that the legislature has faced this type of issue before and said, it's not our place to get in the middle of academic freedom. So I don't know if you recall that a law clinic from the University of Maryland brought a case against Purdue. It had to do with some chicken farming, and
right,
the legislature wanted to withdraw funding from the clinic, from the university. And in the end, they said, that's not the proper position for us to take. It's not the heavy hand of the state coming in to punish a university for academic freedom.
This is not about academic freedom in the sense that it is not. First of all, academic freedom is not unlimited. Academic freedom.
Why is
the
it
right
not unlimited?
Academics to do scholarly research.
But why is it not unlimited?
Why is it not unlimited?
Who says it's not unlimited?
read anything you want to about academic freedom. Read any commentator.
What should be the limits on academic freedom?
Academic freedom does not require the state of Maryland to support speech that is contrary to the public interests of the state.
So if you have a white racist coming in to speak at Towson University, we should take money away from Towson because they allowed him to speak?
Should you take it? Well, it depends on the context. It really depends on the context. If a element within the university was to have an event that was limited to racist speech without giving other points of view, there's no requirement that the state fund that or that the public university fund that
So here's the question I have for both of you. Quick, I'm going to go to the phones at 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're the first caller up. I remember in the 60s people were saying that we should be denied the right to have boycotts and speech around Vietnam and around the Vietnam War. And we fought that when we were in college in the 60s. And so, what I don't get here, Jay, and then I'm going to let Sarah come in and then we'll go to Clarence, is we're talking about university professors and students advocating for a boycott of Israel. Why should they not have the right to do that, whether you agree or disagree with that?
I agree they have a right individually to do that, but the state of Maryland is not required to fund the university itself. That's the distinction here. If an individual member of the faculty wants to write against Israel, wants to advocate for a boycott, they have every right to do so. The students have the right to do so. But when the department takes action, that is the department. The action of the department cannot be distinguished from the action of the university itself. What? And the university has an interest in saying whether or not they want to fund that activity, and whether it's contrary to the interests of the university, whether it's contrary to the interests of the state, whether it's contrary to basic morality.
Okay.
That's the distinction.
So, Sarah, let me let you back in here. Because what I'm saying, the American Studies Association has advanced the boycott, but the faculty of the American Studies has not. I mean, there's a big difference here.
That's exactly right, Mark, and that's exactly what I was going to say. And a number of the faculty have actually spoken out against the boycott. So, to some of what Jay is saying, it's not exactly on point here about the funding issue. And I go back to what you said and about how, these boycotts have been a part of our society and have promoted serious thought about serious issues, Vietnam War or the apartheid in South Africa. And the point about the state coming in and saying, we are going to penalize you, university, because your professors are exercising their rights to free speech or free association, regardless of the position that you, the university, are taking on, is just absolutely contrary to fundamental principles in our society.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. Encourage you all to write us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can tweet me at Mark Steiner. Jump on our Facebook page. I'll check those out in a moment. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Steiner. On the surface, what I'm hearing here is the use of an agreement of cooperation by Israel with the state to pressure by political power to pressure them into silencing the opposition. I mean, I don't see anything that's basically silencing anybody that is opposed to you for whatever reason. Thank you, Mr. Steiner. And I don't see how a letter of cooperation with an individual state can circumvent the Constitution, what's written in the Constitution by a foreign entity. Can you elaborate on that if it's worthy? Thank you.
Let's go for Sarah and then Jay.
Quite sure how to respond to that. The caller cut in a couple of times. And with respect to the letter circumventing the Constitution, I don't think that it can. I mean, we have fundamental freedoms that we have under our Constitution, notwithstanding a letter of cooperation.
Jay?
You know, the short answer is that the attorney, you know, before this legislation was introduced, the supporters went to the attorney general. The attorney general issued a letter as to the constitutionality of this legislation. It's a four-page letter, but part of it says specifically there that when the state decides to enter into a declaration of cooperation with another country, it's within its legal authority to restrict public funds that undermine that statement, that undermine the goals of that statement. And that's what we're talking about here.
Can I address that for one second?
Go ahead, Sarah, please. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with respect to the Attorney General opinion, I've read that opinion, and the opinion starts off by saying that we must construe a statute as constitutional. This is not a statute. So from the very get-go, that Attorney General opinion went in saying, we are going to find a way to find this bill constitutional. And it relies on a number of cases that I'm not going to go into right now that really don't support its point.
We'll take a quick break and come back and go right to the phones. Bobby, the next caller up, 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're going to come back to continue this conversation in the next 10 minutes of our show. So stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're here with Jay Bernstein, chair of the Advocacy Committee for the Baltimore Zionist District, and Sarah Love, Public Policy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Maryland, talking about the bill that would take funding away from universities if parts of those universities supported the boycott of academic boycott of Israel. Tweeting in, Meredith tweets in that I just lost what she just did. I'll try to find it again and bring it back up. I'm sorry. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Bob. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. At least in my view as a professor, the essence of academic freedom is free discourse. The ASA took a political act by trying to shut down that free discourse, and the Maryland General Assembly is also taking a political act by penalizing the ASA and universities that support it for shutting down that free discourse. This is not Vietnam. This is not South Africa. What the ASA has done is trying to penalize free discourse between Israeli universities and foreign universities, in this case, the United States. So not Vietnam, not South Africa. The essence of the question here is academic freedom. Academic freedom is based on free discourse. ASA is trying to close that down.
Sarah?
Well, I go back to what Michelle Goldberg said and actually what our caller just said, which is it seems that what the bill is trying to do is boycott the ASA to show that academic boycotts are wrong, which doesn't make sense. As the caller said, you know, you want to talk about academic freedom. That's promoting more speech. So that's what we should be doing, not shutting down speech, but promoting more speech.
We're also joined here right now by Youssef Mounir, who is a Palestinian-American writer and executive director of the Jerusalem Fund for Education. Welcome. Good to have you with us as well, Youssef.
Thanks for having me.
Let me go to the phones let me let both of you respond to, Jay, respond to what you heard Bob said, who I think was Bob Freeman, former president of the Baltimore Hebrew University, who's joined us many times in the show here over the last 21 years.
Well, he's exactly right, and I'm glad he made that point, which is this is all about shutting down free discourse. It's preventing discourse with scholars from Israel just based on their based on the fact they are Israeli and they're affiliated with an Israeli university. The whole essence of this effort is contrary to the whole idea of academic freedom, which the university should stand for. And it's one more reason why it's a matter of policy that this legislation is doing the right thing by addressing it.
Yeah, I obviously disagree with that perspective. Look, you can't pick and choose when you stand for open discourse and for academic freedom. The reality is that abusive Israeli policies have prevented the academic freedom of Palestinians in a variety of different ways. One example very recently was that a number of very highly qualified students from the Gaza Strip had to forego scholarships given by the United States State Department precisely because they were not permitted to leave what is essentially an open-air prison in Gaza to come study in the United States. So if we're really talking about, you know, concern for open debate and academic freedom, we have to realize that the system that is being targeted here is one that is absolutely opposed to those aims. And it's because the absence of any viable pathways to redress the legitimate grievances that Palestinians have, that BDS has become the only option. And so I think if we're going to be serious about this, we have to look at the system and exactly what it's doing and how it is abusing the rights of Palestinians and address it head on.
But I think that whether or not, whatever people believe or don't believe about the boycott, the question is it constitutional to stop people in universities from advocating the boycott and advocating that the university support it? What the university does or does not, I think, is the heart of the issue here. 410-319-8888.
Which this legislation does not do. The legislation, again, does not restrict the right of any faculty member or any student to advocate all they want for the boycott. The question here is whether the university is going to use public funds.
We can't all talk at the same time. So I hate to have that tone of voice, but we can't. We got to do it one at a time. The question I have is, though, is that on the way back to the phones is, while what you're saying, Jay, may be true when you look at the literal words in the legislation, but it puts a damper on that right because people will fear to do anything that they would lose their funding or lose their place at the university. I mean, that is dampening freedom,
I don't see that at all, Mark. No one should fear being able to speak.
What are you talking about?
It's a question of funding. It's if they want to spend the money out of their own pocket to be a member.
So you're saying that if a faculty member says, I'm going to go to a conference that supports the boycott, it won't be paid for by the university?
That's right.
That is putting a damper on academic freedom.
And association, because that professor may be putting on a paper that has nothing to do with the boycott, but is just a conference that is sponsored by the ASA. So that professor knows that that association is unacceptable. So the power of the state is coming down much harder, not only on free speech, but freedom of association.
Well, let's go to some other thoughts here. People may have some different movements entirely, the thoughts on this. Let's go to who's been holding on, Michael? Very quick thought, Michael? Very quick thought.
I'm right here.
Very quick thought.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Michael, a very quick thought, I said.
Okay, my question is this, for you and for Jay Bernstein. If Mayor Kahane were to be president, I should say prime minister of the Jewish state, and he wants to come to speak to a university, and the university decides, since you want to have all the Arabs go, they must go, so that it would be an entirely Jewish state according to Jewish law. Jay, would you support a boycott?
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're not going to get into that right now. I will say my answer response to that is no. Mayor Kahane should have a right to speak if he was alive, even though he was wrong and a fascist. That's what I'd say. that goes to the heart of this. I think, Sarah J. Youssef, that we're talking about the notion of what we mean by freedom and the right to do and think what you want, whether it's a publicly funded or privately funded university. Very quickly, Jay, Sarah Youssef, let's close this out. Jay?
You know, again, we're talking about a whole effort here, which is trying to prevent the robust debate and academic freedom that goes to the heart of a university. That's what this boycott is doing. And the state of Maryland and the taxpayers have a right to say that we aren't going to fund that from public funds, that an individual faculty member can do whatever he wants to do. It will be illegal to in any way deny him tenure or to take any action against a faculty member for expressing his or her point of view. But the state has a right to say that we are not going to support that sort of as a matter of public policy, particularly given the fact that we have an interest in cooperating with the state of Israel, with promoting debate and with benefiting from all that the state of Israel can provide to the state of Maryland.
Sarah?
Thank you, Mark, and thanks for the opportunity to be on your show. I'll just close out by saying what I said before, which is that our country has a long and robust history of protecting speech that we don't like, and a long and robust history of saying that the government cannot suppress that speech. And what I said before is what I stand by, which is the answer to speech you don't like is more speech.
And Youssef, before you start, let me just tell you that we will get you back on here soon so we can have an all-out debate on DBS. But go ahead, Youssef.
I appreciate that. I think, you know, one point that's been really missed is that BDS has actually created more discussion about this issue than has ever existed before. And it's forced us to have this conversation. It's forced many people to have a conversation about Israel's policies vis-a-vis the Palestinians, U.S. support for those policies, and, you know, frankly, the state of Maryland's support for those policies through its economic cooperation with the state. So I think BDS has actually played a tremendous role in creating discussions that would not have otherwise happened. And frankly, when it comes to this bill, it's very clear that while the state has a right to do what it, you know, wants with its money, when it discriminates against how it uses that money because people are, you know, expressing opinions that are constitutionally protected activity, I think that is, you know, a violation of our rights. And I think we need to ask ourselves, why is it that our lawmakers are going to this step to, you know, restrict American freedoms so that they continue supporting Israel's restriction on Palestinian freedom?
Let me, Jay, I'm going to let you have the last 15 seconds here.
Last 15 seconds on a very complicated issue, but let me just say again that the BDS movement is at its heart an effort to demonize Israel, to delegitimize Israel. This whole effort is part of that. And again, people have the right to do that, but the state has the right to say, as a matter of public policy, that we are not going to expend public funds to promote that purpose.
And Sarah, you're saying constitutionally it does not.
I'm sorry?
And you're saying constitutionally the state does not have that right.
The state does not have the right to punish speech. The state doesn't have to go out and promote speech it doesn't agree with. That's very different, but it cannot punish for speech that it doesn't agree with.
And Reverend Meredith Moyes, I did find your tweet, and you tweeted in, at Mark Steiner, we must protect free speech regardless of how distasteful some Americans may find that speech. And I want to thank all of you for joining us for that. Jay Bernstein, Sarah Love, and Youssef Munir also joining us here at the end. Thank the three of you so much. We'll continue to look to see where this is going in the state legislature, and we will be coming back to this whole issue in all of its complexity, in terms of the politics of both the boycott of Israel, those who don't agree with that saying there should only be a boycott of settlements, those who don't agree with that think there should be no boycott at all, that we should support Israel. We're going to have that conversation here on the air very shortly. So thank all of you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back from that break, by the way, we went out before with Janis Joplin because right after she died, her album Pearl jumped out on this day and for 9 weeks was number one. But we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about these security breaches from Target to our universities and what they mean. Stay with us.
And anyone can tell you think you know me well, but you don't know me now.
No, you. Longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold.